This week we are in, I think, week six of our sermon series, and the reason why we're talking about rethinking mission is because we have been supporting the Ghana mission for over 10 years now, and we started thinking, well, what is God asking us to do with regards to Ghana? And then what is God asking us to do with regards to, you know, local mission? What does that look like? There's so many people in Canada that need help and in Barrie that need help. Like, God, what are you calling us to? And so the purpose is really to hear what God is saying to us here in Barrie so that we can just with confidence step forward. And we know that God has a heart for the poor and the lonely and the broken, and our job is to help them to connect with God. He wants to see us clothing people and feeding people and having people belong, that church would be a place where people can belong and find Him and find reconciliation in Him. And so, to figure that out, we need to start with a good diagnosis of what exactly is going on. And so, because the thing is, if we think it is simply all about education, people just don't know, then we will put all of our eggs in the education. Let's just tell them what they need to know. All right? After that, if we think it's oppression, then we'll work primarily for social justice. If we think, well, people are just being hurt, so let's just get in there and start fixing problems, then that's what we're going to do. If we think it is simply a sin issue, then we're just going to tell them about Jesus and end it there. Well, we've told you about Jesus. That's all you need to know. Period. Or, and lastly, if we think it's a lack of material resources, then we'll work primarily to give material resources. But that's not a good diagnosis, because it doesn't actually get to what the heart of the problem is. And the heart of the problem is this, is that we are all broken. And you might think, yeah, but I'm feeling pretty okay. But the fact is, we are all broken in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with people around us, or in our relationship with the world. And so to ask ourselves, okay, if I am broken, like, are we actually willing to go there and say, I am broken, and then to ask God, because you might say, well, I don't feel broken. Well, then I would encourage you to pray this prayer and talk to God. Am I broken in any of these areas? And then wait. That's a surefire way of figuring out, God, where am I broken? And I say this over and over again, because I know I often just sit with the Lord and I say, would you search my heart so I can experience the fullness of things that you want for me? And then He shows me either a relationship or an attitude or an action that is broken, not working. And He says, can we work on this? And then in His graciousness, as soon as I say yes, He does. And then He asks us to do that with other people. So it's not just about us and recognizing that we are broken. It's working with other people in the areas that they are broken, because that's what He tells us to. 2 Corinthians says it like this. This is from 2 Corinthians 5. It says, God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. And so after we recognize our own brokenness and are willing to actually work on it, God says, now I want you to go and do that with others. I want you to facilitate change or reconciliation with others. But what you need to realize first and foremost is you're not doing it on your own. In case any of you have this savior complex, this is the time to take it off. It's not on your own. It's not on your own strength. In fact, in John 15:5, it says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here is God, us first, recognizing we are broken, and we invite God in to heal the brokenness. And then he says, now you go out and do the same thing and I'm going to be with you. So let's do this together. Can we say that word together, together? One, two, three. Together. All right? Together. So you're not a lone wolf. You're not on your own. Jesus says, I am with you. Because you actually can't help people in their broken areas unless you recognize that I'm with you, working through you to accomplish this. And so, this is what we learned last week. Change doesn't just happen. A willingness to heal broken, it doesn't just happen. Something has to trigger it, whether it is a crisis of faith or something happens in their life, or the day-to-day craziness is just so overwhelming that it's like something has to change, or they actually see a life modeled before them and they're like, that's what I want. And then they ask Jesus to help. They actually turn themselves to Jesus and say, I need you to help me change. But there's two sides to change. So just like the recognizing that you need to change, then there's the people or the persons that help you change. And that's our job, or my job and your job. And it goes like this. We need to listen. I want you to touch your ear and say, listen. Listen. You have two of those. All right? And I have to remind myself to listen, because as Landon was giving his talk yesterday, I always have so much to say. And it's like, Jennifer, put a guard on your lips and just let him say what the Lord has laid on his heart. Like, you don't need to add to it. And sometimes we feel that we need to just keep talking because we have so many words inside of ourselves that we just have to get them out. And if I don't get them out, then what's going to happen? The Spirit of God can move without you, okay? So just sometimes you need to listen to what the other person is saying first without just jumping in and saying what you feel needs to be said. All right? Because unless the Spirit is touching their heart, it's not going to go anywhere. So listen first to what the person is saying. Secondly, support and walk alongside them, and then ask Jesus for help in how to do this. Because change doesn't just happen because we want it to happen in somebody else's life. Change happens when the Spirit of God moves in their lives. There's a recognizing of brokenness and an invitation, and then we walk alongside with that person. And that's what it means to facilitate change or reconciliation. It really is a willingness to walk with people, because it's not just going in and fixing a problem, because that doesn't really work in the long run. God wants long-term change in people's life, because that's where we experience His fullness. So how do we move forward? Well, we're going to watch a brief video clip this morning from the guys who wrote this book and see what they say about how do we move forward in this. So here it is. All right. It begins with hanging out. I don't know if you know this, but we have people in our church that do that. They see a college student and they turn to them and they say, do you need a ride home? Do you need help picking up groceries? Do you want to hang out? And it's that simple. They listen. I want you to think about this question that I'm going to put on the screen. It says this. Think of a person who has had a significant positive impact on your life. And in your head, I want you to think about how they did it. So this is my answer. They were living in a way that was appealing. They were real, consistent, and encouraging. And they were willing to hang out, listen to me, and help out wherever they could. Those are the people that made a significant difference besides my parents. But when I went away to university, there was a couple in my church there, Bob and Frida, and yeah, they sounded old, right? Bob and Frida sounds like an older name, just letting you know, and they were. But here they were asking me, do you want to come over for lunch? Do you need anything? How can we help? And Bob loved Gaither music, and my dad loved Gaither music, so he would tell my dad about songs, and my dad would tell him about songs, and like, even though they lived an hour and a half apart, they made an effort to actually get to know my parents because they saw value in me and poured into my life. All from, do you want to come over for supper? Do you need anything? A consistent hello every time they saw me at church. And we have this amazing opportunity right on our doorstep, because the mission that God has for us is where you find yourself. And I don't know if you've ever realized where we as a church are, physical building, but if you stand out on the road this way, Georgian College is there, the French primary school is there, the Catholic high school is there, and then French school is there. Catholic school is there. We're surrounded by kids. And so the question we need to be asking, and we have been asking, is, Lord, what would you have us to be doing? And so I'm sitting with our creative team, and a parent shared at that meeting who said, you know, we went with our child to their school, and we got them connected with the church, and the church did nothing. I don't want us to be that church. Because we need to be somebody else's somebody else. Right? Parents are sending their kids off to university and hoping that they're going to get connected with someone. And yes, this is the Pastor Jen serious talk. I want you to be serious about the young adults that are going to be coming and checking out our church in the next few weeks. Turn to them. Do you need a ride home? Do you need a ride to church next Sunday? Do you have enough groceries? Do you even know where to get groceries? All right? Be willing to ask the question, engage. It starts by this. Hi. Starts with a hello. Are you going to Georgian? And if they say no, oh, all right. Dear Lord Jesus, what's the next question you want me to ask? All right? Send up the prayer. If you don't know what to say, ask. Ask the Lord to guide and direct your conversation, because we have this wonderful opportunity to share the love of Christ with thousands of young people at Georgian College. And so we actually will have a booth set up there at orientation day, so you can be praying for that, talking about Alpha. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this opportunity that we have to make connections with people who need just a community around them. And so, Lord, help us to be willing to fill the gap, to step in, to be willing to do something, to make connections with young adults so that they will grow in their faith and learn more and more about how much you love them. And then they would tell others about how much you love them, and they would experience the abundant life that they have. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're also giving out a pen that has our Berry for Methodist logo on it, and it says just 2 minutes away, because we have really good pens. I don't know about you, but Carol has to buy those pens like two or three times a year because you guys take them home, which is fine, because then you take them to work, which is fine. And then the people at work take them home, and then they're writing with Jesus pens, right? And they are good pens. So feel free, take them, share them around, all right? Cookies. We are baking, not me. We as in the Royal United Family of God, we, a.k.a. Louise. Louise and a few of her closest friends and maybe immediate family are going to be baking 1,000 cookies for that day, all right? So, because there's nothing like giving them a good writing utensil and a cookie, right? Here we are, BFMC. We want to welcome you. And so I want you to have this in mind, like, where do you find yourself, and then what are you going to do with it? And then pray that we would do it well, right? In the weeks leading up to Orientation Day and this September, which we have this influx of young adults, pray that we truly would be a welcoming church. I sat with a new friend, and she said, your church is just so friendly and welcoming. So many people said hi to me, which is great. So what is the next step after the high? That's what we need to be asking ourselves, because there's something about the hanging out that actually gives you ins inside of people's life. And this is what Jesus did. This is where he found himself. I love this passage from Philippians 2. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So where he found himself in human form. He found himself in human form, and then he met their needs, dying for us because of our brokenness. But I love that part where it says, and being found. So where did he find himself? He found himself in human form with humans. And then he's like, okay, what do they need? And he met their needs. The Bible says that he welcomed the people, taught them about the kingdom, and healed their diseases. So mission is wherever God has placed us, and we are equipped with God to do that. And so we have this opportunity. We need to be willing to do what God is asking us to do. Now, I started off this whole series with this statement. It says, where are you wrestling? Or you might wrestle with this. And I say that because even now I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to have to commit to? Because it's really easy to lock the church doors and leave on a Sunday. It's really easy for you to have a conversation on a Sunday and forget about everything the rest of the week. So are you willing to actually ask the question, do you need help getting groceries? Do you know where to get groceries? Do you know where the mall is? How can I help? But are you willing, that internal, like, what is going on in there? Are you thinking there's no possible way that I'm good enough to help someone else? One of the women that mostly played into my life, 13-year-old girl, I went and said, can I look after your kids? She's like, sure, no problem. I watched her marriage get destroyed and her life fall apart. And never once did I think she wasn't good enough to hang out with. Because she was just willing. Because you might be thinking, but my life is so a mess. How could I possibly reach out to anyone? You have to be perfect. That's not true. Because now when I go home and I sit with her, I just watch the beauty of what God is doing to bring healing to her life. Because she's just continued to decide to walk with God. Not that she's perfect or has it all together. But she's just willing to walk with God. And that's all it means to be willing to help. Are you willing to walk with God no matter where you're at, to help somebody else walk with God no matter where they're at? So if you're thinking that you're not good enough, get rid of that. If you're thinking you don't have any money, get rid of that, because God can meet all your needs according to whatever he has in Christ Jesus, which is everything. Right? Because you might be thinking, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the words. I don't know how to connect with young people. God will help you. George and Suzanne Cameron are excellent at this. Ask them how they do it, and they'll say stuff like this. I just asked if they needed a ride home. And that's where it begins. Do you need a ride home? Do you need help getting groceries? Hi. And so I want us to be thinking about this whole idea of being present wherever we're at and ministering to needs, because that's what Jesus did. And that's what we talk about in communion. We remember that Jesus came to hang out with us, to heal the broken parts, and to restore us to full relationship with Him so that we could hang out with Him forever. That's what communion is all about, is remembering that Jesus came to hang out with us, to heal the broken parts so that we could live with Him forever. He came to restore peace in all areas. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with each other, and then peace with the world. That we can be made right in all relationships. He came to bring this wonderful sense of peace. And some of you might be thinking, I'm not really experiencing that peace. And it goes like, if you want to experience that peace with God, it's, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm broken in my relationship with You, in my relationship with myself and others. I know that I have done things that are wrong. Would You forgive me? And would You bring this peace? Would You bring this reconciliation? Would You bring this rightness? Because I want to walk forward in that peace. And then when you do that, the cool thing is the Holy Spirit comes and He starts to bring peace to all of those areas of our lives. And it doesn't just happen in one moment. It happens over time. But when we invite Christ into our lives, He brings this peace. And as I sat with a young woman this week who had given her heart to the Lord, she's like, I just feel different. I'm like, that's Jesus. And you can't explain it until you've walked through it. But it's just Jesus. He brings this wonderful change into our lives. And so as we participate in communion this morning, the thing that I want us to remember more than anything is that Jesus came to hang out with us, to bring wholeness to the broken parts of our life so that we can walk in fullness, full relationship with Him. That's what He came to do. This came to make us right with God so that we could be right with others and experience fullness in Him. And so I'm going to ask the servers if they're going to come forward. We're going to do this as a church family this morning, as I explained at the very beginning. This is a time where we just pause and God's promise to meet with us. There will be lots of pauses, quiet times as we pass plates, and that's your time to listen. The worship team will be singing, but if you just want to hold on to that cracker, you want to hold on to that cup and just say, okay, Lord, where are we at? Am I good with You? Am I good with the people around me? Am I good with myself? Am I good with the world in the sense of the things that You have given to me to steward? Am I good with that? And then just allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. And if He points out something, then just acknowledge it, repent it, repent of it, and then allow His peace to come. And if the Lord doesn't say anything, because sometimes it is just good, then just experience that peace. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning and we participate in communion, recognizing that You came to hang out with us, to make things right. And then You tell us to do that to other people, to just hang out with them. Lord God, we ask in Your name that as we pause and we hold the cracker, which represents Your blood, your body, that we would realize that sacrifice came with making us right with You. And then, Lord, as we hold on to that cup that holds just this wee bit of juice, it reminds us of the power of Your blood that washes us clean, wipes away every sin, every blemish, and can therefore, because You broke the power of death and hell, we can stand in Your presence, which is so humbling. So, Lord, as we create this space now for You to come and meet with us, we ask, Lord, that You would open our hearts to the things that we need to surrender to You. And, Lord, would You remove any pride or insecurity that would prevent us from stepping forward into what it is that you have for us, this mystery of God. And we ask this in your name. Amen.